الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين. أما بعد، continue reading in the chapter باب فضل العلم وطريق طلبه. باب فضل العلم وطريق طلبه. The chapter with regards to the virtues of knowledge and the way to seek it. The virtues of knowledge and the way to seek it. We have come to the narration, the author mentioned, and he says, حَفِظُهُ اللَّهُ وَلَهُمَا عَنْ عَائِشَةَ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهَا أَنَّهَا قَالَتْ. And it's been collected by Bukhari and Muslim from the hadith of Aisha رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهَا that she said, تَلَى رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَمَ هَذِهِ الْآيَةَ إِلَى قَوْلِهِ هُوَ الَّذِي أَنْزَلَ عَلَيْكَ الْكِتَابَ مِنْهُ آيَاتٌ مُحْكَمَاتٌ هُنَّ أُمُّ الْكِتَابِ وأخر متشابهات فأما الذين في قلوبهم زيغ فيتبعون ما تشابه منه ابتغاء الفتنة وابتغاء التأويل إلى قوله أولو الألباب. عائشة رضي الله عنها, she mentioned and she said that the messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم, he read this verse, the statement of Allah the Most High, meaning that it is He, Allah, meaning Allah, who has revealed to you the book of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. هو الذي أنزل عليك الكتاب. It is He, meaning Allah, who has revealed to you, meaning O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the book, in reference to the noble Quran. منه آيات محكمات هن أم الكتاب. From the Quran, the book that is revealed to Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Allah, he says, minhu ayatun muhkamat. From it, there are clear verses, clear and precise verses. Hunna umur kitab, and they are the foundation of the book. They are the fundamentals of the book. Wa ukharu mutashabihat, and there are others that are unclear. And there are others, meaning other verses, that are unclear. Fa amma ladina fi qulubihim zaygun, and as for those who have deviation in their heart, فَيَتَّبِعُونَ مَا تَشَابَهَ مِنْهُ, then they follow that which is unclear from it. اِبْتِغَاءَ الْفِتْنَةِ وَابْتِغَاءَ التَّأْوِيلِ, in seeking to cause trials and tribulation and confusion and seeking to misinterpret those verses. إِلَى قَوْلِهِ أُولُو الْأَلْبَابِ, until the statement of Allah, the Most High, أُولُو الْأَلْبَابِ. And the verse Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He mentioned, هُوَ الَّذِي أَنْزَلَ عَلَيْكَ الْكِتَابَ مِنْهُ آيَاتٌ مُحْكَمَاتٌ هُنَّ أُمُّ الْكِتَابِ وَأُخَرُ مُتَشَابِهَاتٌ فَأَمَّا الَّذِينَ فِي قُلُوبِهِمْ زَيْغٌ فَيَتَّبِعُونَ مَا تَشَابَهَ مِنْهُ ابْتِغَاءَ الْفِتْنَةِ وَابْتِغَاءَ التَّأْوِيلِ وَمَا يَعْلَمُ تَأْوِيلَهُ إِلَّا اللَّهُ وَالرَّاسِخُونَ فِي الْعِلْمِ يَقُولُونَ آمَنَّا بِهِ كُلٌّ مِنْ عِنْدِ رَبِّنَا كُلٌّ مِنْ عِنْدِ رَبِّنَا وَمَا يَذَّكَّرُ إِلَّا أُولُو الْأَلْبَابِ وَمَا يَذَّكَّرُ إِلَّا أولو الألباب. عائشة, she says, قالت قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم فإذا رأيت الذين يتبعون ما تشابه منه فأولئك الذين سمى الله فاحذروهم. So if you see those who follow that which is unclear from it, then these are those whom Allah has named, meaning those whom Allah has mentioned in this verse. So therefore you must take precaution from them. So therefore you must take precaution from them, فَحْذَرُوهُمْ, so beware of them. So therefore, beware of them. So we see in the path of seeking knowledge, there are people who are on the proper way and upon the correct understanding. And there are the people of sound mind and intellect. And they are the people of the sunnah. At the head of them are the noble companions, radiyallahu anhum, and those who follow them precisely, from the tabi'een and tabi'een. And those three virtuous generations that are well-known and praiseworthy, well-known with great praise in the book and in the sunnah. So their way is to understand the text of the Quran and the sunnah in one light, and to not focus on one aspect and neglect other aspects, but rather the proper methodology and way to achieve the pure truth, the correct understanding, is that in any aspect, that in any topic that we study in the religion, will not truly understand that topic precisely or correctly until we gather all the evidences in that issue. all the evidences mentioned and referring to that topic and that subject in the Quran and likewise in the authentic Sunnah, and from here the proper understanding and the correct ruling can be derived. As for if a person here were to look at one text and neglect others, then he'll be misled, and he'll be misguided, and he will cause fitna, and he will make the revelation seem as if it contradicts itself. He'll make the revelation seem as if it contradicts itself by looking at one aspect and neglecting others. By looking at one aspect and neglecting others. So this verse here, Barakallahu Fikum, is very important. It's very important, and likewise this narration, and he clarifying this verse. So we know that the best interpretation of the Quran is the Quran by the Quran. There are many verses where the Quran will clarify other verses. That many verses in the Quran, Allah will clarify those verses with other verses. We've seen an example of that in our class last night. Who can mention? Ahsant. The interpretation of Ihdina Sirat al-Mustaqim. Sirat al-Ladina an'amta alayhim. Ghayr al-Maghdubi alayhim wa al-Dhalin. The interpretation of this verse is found in Surah An-Nisa. Whenever Allah he says, وَمَنْ يُطِعَ اللَّهَ وَالرَّسُولَ فَأُولَيْكَ مَعَ الَّذِينَ أَنْعَمَ اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِمْ مِنَ النَّبِيِّينَ وَالصِّدِّيقِينَ وَالشُّهَدَاءِ وَالصَّالِحِينَ وَحَسُنَ أُولَئِكَ رَفِيقًا. So this verse here is the interpretation of the verse of Surah Fatiha. This verse here is the interpretation of the verse of Surah Fatiha. So this is the interpretation of the Quran by the Quran. This is from the strongest interpretation and the best means to clarify the meanings of the Quran and that which is intended properly. So if somebody said, who are those whom Allah has bestowed His favors and blessings upon, then we'll refer to the verse in Surah An-Nisa. وَمَنْ يُطِعَ اللَّهَ وَالرَّسُولَ فَأُولَئِكَ مَعَ الَّذِينَ أَنْعَمَ اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِمْ. So whoever obeys Allah and His Messenger, then they are in the companies of those whom Allah has bestowed His favors and blessings upon. مِنَ النَّبِيِّينَ وَالصِّدِّيقِينَ وَالشُّهَدَاءِ وَالصَّالِحِينَ. But after that, likewise, from the best and most precise and correct means to interpret the words of Allah Azza wa Jalla, is from the statements of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And the Prophet, he was revealed, and the Quran was revealed to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he was entrusted to clarify it likewise, in his sunnah as well as revelation. So that's what we have here. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is clarifying the importance of this verse, and mentioning the benefit from this, and likewise warning his family, the women, from them. And this is an important issue, likewise, that not only do we study and we learn, but likewise, we raise our family upon the proper way. And we teach our wives. And we teach our wives. And this is from the means to save oneself and one's family from a fire which fuel as many stones. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He mentioned in His book, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا قُوا أَنفُسَكُمْ وَأَهْلِيكُمْ نَارًا. O you who believe, save yourselves and your families from a fire which fuel as many stones. So, in order to do that, one, he must have knowledge himself. So one cannot save someone or guide someone or lead someone without knowledge. فَاقِدُ الشَّيْءِ لَا يُطِيهِ. So before one can save his family, he must save himself. So this is by learning and striving upon that path to have a solid understanding and correct foundation in the creed, Islamic creed, and belief that the Prophet ﷺ, he taught his companions. And then likewise, the general understanding of the application of that creed in daily life. And anything a person is going to get involved in, then he will learn the rulings with regards to that, so he can do it in the limits of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So in this verse, Allah azza wa jal, he clarifies many great benefits. Who الَّذِي أَنزَلَ عَلَيْكَ الْكِتَابِ. It is Allah who has revealed to you, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the book. مِنْهُ آيَاتٌ مُحْكَمَاتٌ هُنَّ أُمُّ الْكِتَابِ. From the book, there are verses that are considered muhkamat. There are verses that are considered muhkamat. The people of knowledge, they mentioned with regards to the issue of al-ihkam wa tashabut. Al-ihkam wa tashabut. That in one aspect, the entire Quran is considered muhkamah. It's considered muhkamah, meaning that it's all precise and it's all exact. One part testifies and affirms another part, just as we have seen in Surah Al-Fatiha and likewise in Surah An-Nisa. And that it's all mastered at the peak of eloquence, at the peak of beauty, at the peak of benefit. This is the Quran in entirety. It's all muhkam from this aspect. But what is intended here is that there are certain verses that are clear in their meaning, and they're direct in their meaning, and they only carry one understanding. They only carry one understanding. They can only be understood in one light. And then there are other verses that are mutashabih. And likewise, the mutashabih has the general understanding, and that means that it resembles, the Quran resembles, all parts of it resemble each other, meaning in beauty and in eloquence and in precision and great benefit in mastery. And if this is the general understanding. But what is intended here is that there are verses that carry more than one meaning. So here, what is being referred to, ayat muhkamat, there are verses that are considered muhkama. These are verses that are clear and direct in their meaning, and they can only be understood in one light, and no one will misunderstand them, or no one will be able to misinterpret them. Then there are other verses in the book of Allah Azza wa Jal that they carry more than one meaning. They could be understood in more than one light. So they could be understood in accordance with the clear verses, and they could be understood in contradiction to the clear verses, or in a different meaning than the clear verses. So this is the issue. We understand there are verses that are clear and direct in their meaning, and then there are other verses that are unclear and not direct in their meaning. Those verses that are unclear and not direct in their meaning, they could be understood in more than one light. They could be understood in accordance to the clear verses, and they could be understood in another light, not in accordance to the clear verses. So what is the way of those who have deviation in their heart? They seek to interpret those unclear verses contrary to the clear verses. They seek to interpret the clear verses contrary to the clear verses, making it seem as if there's contradictions, making it appear as if there are errors, or making it seem that the Quran is not in accord. This is the outcome of that. As for the people of knowledge who are grounded in knowledge, and they believe in all of it. They believe in the clear verses and in the unclear verses, and they refer the verses that carry more than one meaning back to the verses that carry one meaning and understand it all in one light. And now the Quran is in accordance, and the verses are in accordance. So now this verse is understood in the light of that verse, not in contradiction to it. So now in this manner, the whole Quran becomes clear. And there's no ambiguities or misunderstandings or misinterpretations. So this is the general understanding of this verse. So as for those who have deviation in their heart, what do? They turn away from the clear verses, and they go to the verses that they're able to misinterpret. And they will leave the clear understanding, and they'll bring their own understanding in order to follow fitna, in order to bring doubts, and in order to establish their whims and desires, in order to play games, waliyadu billah, with the book of Allah Azza wa Jal, and to follow their whims. So this is the way of the people who have deviation in their heart. This is the way of the people who have deviation in their heart. So in seeking knowledge, we must seek knowledge from the proper sources, and be cautious from seeking knowledge from the wrong sources. And from the attributes of those who are qualified and are from the proper sources to learn from is that they understand the book in this light, that they refer all of the verses, rather all of the texts, not only the verses in the Quran, but likewise the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and as well as the statements of the Salaf, from the Sahaba and the Tabi'een, Atba' Tabi'een. They understand all of these evidences in the light of this understanding, by referring anything that could be misinterpreted or misunderstood, or anything that's not clear, from the verses of the Book of Allah, from the Hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, or any of the Athar of the Salaf. These issues here are referred back to that which is solid and clear in the Book of Allah, because Allah, He says, Hunna umul kitab. They're the foundation of the book. So the foundation of something is that which that thing, the rest of that thing returns back to. You understand this part? The foundation of the building. The whole building goes back to the foundation. The pillars, the walls, the roof, all of that goes back to the foundation. So the foundation of something is the focal point where it begins from. Al-aslu and the asas wa shay. It's the foundation of something, that which that thing is based upon, and that which all aspects of that thing return back to. That's called the foundation of something. You understand? So Allah is clarifying, and this is so beautiful. This is the words of Allah Azza wa Jalla. منه آيات محكمات هن أم الكتاب. منه يعني من القرآن آيات محكمات هن أم الكتاب. From the Quran there are clear verses. Clear verses that only carry one meaning, that only be understood in one light. They're the foundation of the book. They're the foundation of the book. Meaning all the other verses, anything that's unclear or could be misinterpreted in another manner, they, how do you understand that, the understanding, what is intended? It could be understood like this, or could be understood like that. There's a verse that could be interpreted in this manner, or it could be interpreted in this manner. How do we understand it? Are we left to follow our desires? No, we're not left to follow our desires. Rather, our Lord has guided us. And He said that these verses that are clear, they're the foundation of the book. So therefore, these unclear verses, or that could be carried or understood in more than one light, they refer back to these verses. And that's how you know the intended meaning of those verses. So the verses that are unclear or carry more than one meaning, they're not understood except in a manner in accordance to the clear verses. And those who interpret them in contradiction to the clear verses, this is a sign they have zayg in their hearts. This is a sign they have deviation and an inclination to evil and falsehood in their hearts. Because we do not know what is in the hearts of the people, but there are signs indicating. And from the signs and indications that a person has deviation in his heart is that he will leave the clear evidences of the book and the sunnah, and he will leave those fundamentals and foundations that are established and well known, and he'll go to these unclear texts or these texts that could be understood in more than one light, and he will explain them and interpret them according to his desires in contradiction to those fundamentals. In contradiction to those fundamentals. So the religion of Allah Azza wa Jalla, it has fundamentals. It has great fundamentals and pillars and foundations. And these are very clear in aspects of life. In creed, there are fundamentals established in the book and the sunnah. In worship, there are fundamentals established in the book and the sunnah. In contracts and dealings, there are fundamentals established in the book and the sunnah. In methodology, in the way of life of a Muslim, there are fundamentals that are established in the book and the sunnah. So these fundamentals are the foundation. These affairs here, they're the proper understanding of the religion. So anything that comes in the text of the Quran and the Sunnah, or in the statements of the scholars and the likes like this, that is ambiguous or could be understood in more than one light, or is in contradiction to that, the way to understand that which is correct and that which is truth and that which is intended and that which is pleasing to Allah, by referring all of that back to that which is clear, so that everything now is in accordance and not in contradiction, and not in contradiction. So again, there are people who understand the text in this manner. This is from the characteristics and traits of those whom we seek knowledge and learn from. And then there are those who leave these clear verses and they go to the verses that contain more than one meaning, or the hadith that could be understood in more than one light, and they will interpret them contrary to these fundamentals and lead people into misguidance and deviation and make it seem or appear. And they will not say that, but that's the outcome. They will appear as if there's contradiction in the book and in the sunnah. So this is a very important narration. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he's telling his wife, said, فَإِذَا رَأَيْتِ أَلَّذِينَ يَتَّبِعُونَ مَا تَشَابَهَ مِنْهُمْ. So if you see those who are following that which is from the mutashabih, and that which carries more than one meaning, فَأُولَٰئِكَ الَّذِينَ سَمَّ اللَّهِ. They are the ones that Allah mentioned. They're the ones that Allah is referring to in this verse. And he said, مَاهُمْ بِأَنَّهُمْ أَلَذِينَ فِي قُلُوبِهِمْ زَيْدٍ. That Allah has mentioned them, or He has said about them, that they are those who have deviation in their heart. فَحْذَرُوهُمْ. So you must beware of them. You must be cautious from them. They're going to bring fitna. They're going to cause turmoil. They're going to bring problems. They're going to cause the hearts to divide. They're going to cause separation. They're going to cause doubts. They're going to cause confusion. They're going to bring problems to you and your life and your society. This is what happens whenever the people learn and take knowledge from the wrong sources. This is what we've seen in our previous class. This is what we've seen in our previous class. Ibn Kathir, rahimahullah ta'ala, in his tafsir of this noble verse, he has some great benefit. We read some of that. Ibn Kathir, rahimahullah ta'ala, he died in the year 774, from the great scholars of hadith and of tafsir, likewise of tarikh. And he's a great scholar of many sciences about Islam, rahimahullah ta'ala. He says, يُخْبِرُ تَعَالَى أَنَّ فِي الْقُرْآنِ آيَاتٍ مُحْكَمَاتٍ هُنَّ أُمُّ الْكِتَابِ. That Allah, He is mentioning here that in the Quran there are ayat muhkamat, They're those clear and precise verses that carry only one meaning. They're the fundamentals of the book. He says, "Bayinat, ay bayinat in wadihat al-dalala," meaning that they're clear, they're precise and clear in that which they indicate, and clear in their meaning. These verses that are ayat muhkamat, ay bayinat wadihat al-dalala, they're direct and clear in their meaning. لا التباس فيها على أحد من الناس. There's no ambiguity or anything that is unclear for in these verses for anyone from the people. Any all of the people, they'll be able to read them and understand. قل هو الله أحد. For example, حرمت عليكم الميتة. These are clear verses. Everyone hears this and understands. Say Allah, He is the one and only. Say Allah, He is one. So it's clear that Allah, He's not two or three or four or five. Allah, He's one. No one will misunderstand this or could misinterpret this. حُرِّمَتْ عَلَيْكُمْ وَالْمَيْتَةِ. The flesh of the dead animal that died before it was slaughtered, is forbidden. This is very clear. This is very clear. No one will misinterpret this. So these are ayat muhkamat, examples of that. So this is what he's saying. No one will be confused about these verses. They're the foundations, the fundamentals of the book. وَمِنْهُ آيَاتٌ أُقَارٌ فِيهَا اشْتِبَاهٌ فِي الدِّلَالَةِ عَلَى كَثِيرٍ مِنَ النَّاسِ أَوْبَاضِهِ. And from the Quran, there are other verses that are unclear, is intended from them, or in the meaning. And they're unclear for many people or for some of them. Meaning they're not unclear for everyone. فَمَنْ رَدَّ مَشْتَبَهَ عَلَيْهِ إِلَى الْوَاضِحِ مِنْهُ وَحَكَّمَ مُحْكَمَهُ عَلَى مُتَشَابِهِهِ عِنْدَهُ فَقَدْ اِتَّدَى. And whoever refers that which is unclear to him back to that which is clear from it, and he makes the clear verses the judge and rule in understanding those unclear verses, then he will be guided. Then he will be guided. So this is the means to be guided from the Quran, because the Quran is guidance and light for those who believe in it and follow it and study it properly. But if a person, he disbelieves in the Quran, it will not be guidance for them. Rather, يكون عليه عمى وليعياذ بالله, it will be blindness for him and not guidance. It will be darkness for him and not light. And not lying. Likewise, if a person, he were to believe in it in general, but he did not study it and follow it, the proper study and follow. He did not approach the Quran in the proper manner, he'll be misled and be misguided, like the people who have deviation in their heart. Like the people who have deviation in their heart. So from the ways to be guided by the Quran is that whenever there are verses that are unclear or could be understood in more than one light, that one who referred these verses back to the other verses on the same topic that are direct in their meaning. That are direct in their meaning. This is a point we're repeating time after time, but it's of utmost importance to understand. And so much confusion and chaos is happening today. It has been happening. Has been happening because people fail to understand this issue. And they're misled by the people of deviation, by the people of misguidance, because of lack of understanding this narration and these verses. From the ways of the grave worshippers, they make shirk seem permissible or fair seeming, and likewise from the ways of the Khawarij and the revolutionist call to overthrowing governments, they use the verses and the texts that are unclear, and they bring chaos and they bring corruption and they bring turmoil and they bring misguidance from many different aspects. The methodology of those people, the way that they get the layman to follow them, is by using those unclear evidences and riling them up and the likes like this. But with knowledge, a person will be able to see that that is falsehood, that is not correct, and it's in contradiction to the clear text of the Quran and the Sunnah. So therefore, a person, he must strive to hold fast to that which he knows from the fundamentals of the religion and not go beyond it. And not go beyond that, following the desires of those who have deviation in their heart. So he says, وَمَنْ عَكَسًا عَكَسًا. Whoever does the opposite will happen. And whoever does the opposite, does not refer those unclear verses. When we say unclear, meaning that they carry more than one meaning. Whoever does not refer them back to the clear verses. When we say the clear verses, meaning those verses that carry only one meaning. Whoever does not refer those verses that are mutashabiha back to the verses that are muhkama, then the opposite will happen. And that is that he will be misguided. He'll be misguided. He'll be misguided. وَلِيَذِ بِاللَّهِ. So the worst thing in life is to be misguided. The worst thing in life is to be misguided. And the best thing in life is to be guided. Because Allah, He sent His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam with guidance. So the greatest favor is the favor of guidance. Guidance to Al-Islam. Guidance to the Sunnah. Guidance to the straight path that leads to the pleasure of Allah Azza wa Jalla. This is the blessing of blessings and the favor of favors. This is the blessing of blessing and the favor of favors. So one, he must not jeopardize his religion and his deen. And he must cherish that favor. And from doing that is understanding these affairs. And sufficing with learning from those who are on the correct path and have the proper understanding. And turning away from those who are on the wrong path and have a corrupt understanding. And from the ways to identify that is this here. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is warning his own family. And likewise, the Ummah as well. فَحْدَرُوهُمْ فَحْدَرُوهُمْ. Be cautious from them. Beware of them. Watch out from them. Don't sit with them. Don't learn from them. Don't listen to them. Don't open their websites. Don't go to their YouTube channels. Don't entertain anything that they have to say. When you see them, you turn away from them. Whenever you hear them, you don't listen to them. You don't pay them any attention. You flee from them. وَلِيَذِ بِاللَّهِ. The people of not, as they say, مَنْ كَانَ مُخَاطِرًا فَلَا يُخَاطِرْ بِدِينِهِ. That whoever is going to take risks, let him not take risks with his religion. So the deen is something precious and valuable. You don't put this in jeopardy. You don't put this in jeopardy, especially not with the people of deviation. And many times the people of deviation, they have eloquence. They're able to speak fluently. They're able to make their falsehood appear fair seeming. They're able to make their falsehood appear fair seeming. But from the ways to identify them is in this manner. Is in this manner. That they'll leave the clear evidences and they'll go to the unclear evidences. They'll go to the unclear evidences. So this is something of utmost importance. So he says, وَلِهَذَا قَالَ تَعَالَى هُوَ الَّذِي أَنزَلَ عَلَيْكَ الْكِتَابَ مِنْهُ آيَاتٌ مُحْكَمَاتٌ هُنَّ أُمُّ الْكِتَابِ. So for this reason, Allah the Most High, He says, it is He who has revealed to you, O Muhammad, the book sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, from it there are clear verses. Ayat muhkamat, these clear verses. Hunna umul kitab, they're the fundamentals, they're the foundation of the book. He says, ay asluhu alladhi yarji'u ilayhi inda ishtibah, meaning that these verses here are the fundamentals that I return back to whenever there are any ambiguities or anything that is unclear. وَأُقَرُ مُتَشَابِهَاتٍ. And there are others that are unclear. أَيْ تَحْتَمِلُ دِلَالَتُهَا مُوَافَقَةِ الْمُحْكَمِ وَقَدْ تَحْتَمِلُ شَيْئًا آخَرٍ. Meaning that the verses that are considered متشابهات, they are verses that could be understood in accordance to those clear verses, and they could be possibly understood contrary or in another way. This is very important. This is very important. وَقَدْ تَحْتَمِلُ شَيْئًا آخَرٍ مِنْ حَيْثُ اللَّبْدِ وَالتَّرَكِيبِ لَا مِنْ حَيْثُ الْمُرَادِ. That they could possibly be understood in another manner, according to the terms, but not according to the intention. And in these verses that have more than one meaning, that could be understood in accordance to those clear verses, and they could be understood in another way. So how do we understand what is intended from them? You take them back to the clear verses. So it had this verse is clear. There are issues in the religion that Allah has clarified in His book. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has clarified in the Sunnah. And these evidences, they're all in the quarters that clarifying this particular issue. Then there are other evidences about the same topic that could be understood in that manner. Likewise, also possibly they could be understood in another way. Also possibly they could be understood in another way. So how do we know the intent from these verses? How do we know the intent from these texts that could be understood according to the rest of the text or could be understood in another way? By referring them back to these texts, so that now they're all in accordance. So the understanding that's not in accordance with the other text is not intended. What is intended is the understanding that is in accordance with the rest of the text. You understand? So this is the affair. So this is what is intended. That all of the texts, they will be in accordance. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He has tried the people. We're tried in this life. So the truth is very clear. But likewise, there are going to be affairs that maybe the mind will not be able to comprehend. There's a test and a trial in these affairs. So once one sees the clear verses and sees the clear truth and the evidences for that, now he must surrender and submit. So after realizing that and believing that and reaching certainty with regards to that, now there are other things that maybe he will not comprehend absolutely. His mind cannot reach. So he's tried now by surrendering and submitting to Allah and entrusting that to Allah and knowing that it's truth. And this is the way of al-rasikhuna fil-ilm. وَرَاسِخُونَ فِي الْعِلْمِ يَقُولُونَ آمَنَّا بِهِ كُلٌّ مِنْ عِنْدِ رَبِّنَا. And the people who are firmly grounded in knowledge, they say, we believe in it. All of it is from our Lord. In that which is clear, and that which we understand, and that which we see with certainty, and that which is not ambiguous to us. And then likewise, that which we do not understand, or that which is not absolutely clear for us, we know that all of it is from our Lord. This is the book of Allah. It is the speech of our Lord. And we believe in all of it. That which is very clear for us, we believe in and have certainty with regards to. And even likewise, that which may not be clear for us in certain issues, likewise, we believe in it, and it's from our Lord subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this is a test. It's a test for us in our minds. We must surrender with our hearts to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is not blind following. It's not blind following. The evidences for the tawheed of Allah azza wa jal and for the messengership of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is established and very clear. It's established and very clear. We have seen the proofs for this in our previous class. The proofs for Tawheed and the creation around us. And our own life. And the proofs for the Prophet of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in the book of Allah azza wa jalla that cannot be replicated nor reproduced. And if they could do that, they would have done it already. The way that they are fighting against Islam and his people. So they're not able to do that. This is a clear proof that Muhammad is the messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And that his call to la ilaha illallah is truth. There's nothing worthy of worship except for Allah. Once reaching certainty in this affair, now there are other issues in their religion likewise that are very clear. But then maybe there are some verses or some affairs in the text that may not be so clear. We're tired of that. We have to surrender and we have to submit and say, "Amanna bihi kullu min indi rabbina." We believe in it and all of it is from our Lord. We believe in it and all of it is from our Lord. So this is the means to understand the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is the means to understand the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. To refer back to the verses that are clear and only carry one meaning, that are the fundamentals of the religion. That are the fundamentals of the religion. So this is the way of the people of knowledge. This is the way of the people who are upright. And these are the people, this is the methodology of the people that we should learn from. As for the people we should not learn from and not seek knowledge from are those who have deviation in their heart. What is their sign? So how can you go for the intentions? How can you say he has deviation in his heart? How can you talk about what's in his heart? Huh? Because they're signs. Allah, he mentioned here, there's a sign here. And the Prophet ﷺ said, when you see them, فَإِذَا رَأَيْتِ الَّذِينَ يَتَّبِعُونَ مَا تَشَابَهَ مِنْهُمْ وَالَّذِينَ أُولَٰئِكَ الَّذِينَ سَمَّ اللَّهِ فَاحْذَرُوهُمْ. So when you see those who follow that which is unclear and interpret the verses contrary to those clear texts, these are the ones that Allah mentioned. What did Allah mention about them? فِي قُلُوبِهِمْ زَيْغٌ. They have deviation in their heart. They have an inclination to falsehood in their heart. They have problems in their life. وَلِيَعْذُ بِاللَّهِ. We must take precaution from them. You must beware of them. You must beware of them. So therefore, this is from the methodology of seeking knowledge. This is from the methodology of seeking knowledge. After this, the author says, وَقَالَ عَلِي بُنْ أَبِي طَالِبٍ وَقَالَ عَلِي إِبْنُ أَبِي طَالِبٍ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُ أُنظُرُوا مِمَّنْ تَأْخُذُونَ هَذَا الْعِلْمَ فَإِنَّمَا هُوَ الدِّينُ رَوَاهُ إِبْنُ عَدِي في الكامل والخطيب البغدادي في الكفاية ولا يصح عنه وصح نحوه عن جماعة من السلف. So he mentioned now that it's been narrated from Ali ibn Abi Talib رضي الله عنه. He says, look to whom you take this knowledge, because indeed it is religion, it's deen. And he mentioned that this is narrated by Ibn Adi in his book Al-Kamil, and by Al-Khatib Al-Baghdadi in his book Al-Kifaya, He says, وَلَا يَسِحُ عَنْهُ, and it's not reported authentically from him, meaning that the chain back to Ali radiallahu anhu is weak. But it has been reported, the likes of this, from a number of the Salaf. From a number of the Salaf. From that is that which is collected by Al-Imam Muslim in the Muqaddimah of his Sahih, from the Hadith of Muhammad ibn Sirin, rahimahullah ta'ala, from the best of the Tabi'een, the students of Anas and Abi Hurairah and others, from the Sahaba, Muhammad ibn Sirin, rahimahullah, he mentioned, إِنَّ هَذَا الْعِلْمَ دِينٌ فَانْظُرُوا عَمَّنْ تَأْخُذُونَ دِينَكُمْ فَانْظُرُوا عَمَّنْ تَأْخُذُونَ دِينَكُمْ. That indeed, this knowledge is religion, is deen. So therefore, you must look to who you take your knowledge from. You must look to who you take your knowledge from. So this is also from the methodology. From the methodology of seeking knowledge is that one is cautious. Cautious who he takes knowledge from. He looks and takes knowledge from the proper sources. And he takes this affair very serious. Because the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is even warning his own wife about these affairs. You have to watch out where you take knowledge from. فَحْذَرُوهُ. You see those people whom Allah mentioned in his book? فَحْذَرُوهُ. Be cautious from them. Meaning you don't take knowledge from them. You don't listen to their tapes or their recordings, or you don't sit in their gatherings. You don't learn from them. You don't read their books. You don't listen, entertain their ideas, or else you can become confused very easily. Many times, deviation enters the heart by listening to the wrong people. By listening to the wrong people, deviation, a person who will be upon clarity in the issue in the religion, and then by listening to the people of misguidance and deviation, doubts come into his heart. Doubts come into his heart about creed. Doubts come to his heart about methodology. Doubts come into his heart about affairs in the religion because of listening and listening to the statements of the people of falsehood and the people of deviation and the people of misguidance, those who have deviation in their hearts. So from the methodology of seeking knowledge is that a person, he'll be cautious whom he learns from. He'll be cautious whom he learns from. So the narration here is narrated from Ali radiallahu anhu, but it's not authentic. But it's authentic on a number of the Salaf, as he mentioned. As he mentioned, hafidhahullahu ta'ala. After this he says, قَالَ إِبْنُ مَسْعُودٍ رَضِيَ عَنْهُ لَا يَزَالُ النَّاسُ صَالِحِينَ مُتَمَاسِكِينَ مَا أَتَاهُمُ الْعِلْمُ مِنْ أَصْحَابِ مُحَمَّدٍ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمُ مِنْ أَكَابِرِهِمْ فَإِذَا أَتَاهُمْ مِنْ أَصَاغِرِهِمْ هَلَكُوا. رواه معمر في الجامع والطبراني وإسناده صحيح. He says, now it's been narrated from Ibn Mas'ud رضي الله عنه that he said, and he himself, that the people will continue to be righteous and united, firm upon the religion, so long as the knowledge comes to them from the companions of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and from their elders. And whenever the knowledge comes from the little ones, they will be destroyed. They will perish. Whenever their knowledge comes to them from the little ones, they will perish. This is narrated by Ma'mar, and Imam Ma'mar ibn Rashid, the great teacher of Abdul Razak al-San'ani, rahimahum Allahu ta'ala, and likewise by al-Tabarani, with a chain that is authentic. So likewise, this is the methodology of seeking knowledge. And we have seen that in the introduction of this chapter, whenever Ibn Qayyim, he clarified what is knowledge. Who can you remember that? Al-ilmu, qala Allahu, qala Rasuluhu, qala Sahabatu, ulu al-irfani. The knowledge is that which Allah has said, and has mentioned in his book, and what his messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has mentioned in the authentic sunnah, and that which is narrated to us from the companions, radiyallahu anhum. So it's a lot most important to understand this principle. That knowledge is what the companions they were upon. Knowledge is what the companions they were upon. Because the companions, they're the ones who Allah had chosen and selected to be the followers and the students, those who learned directly from the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. They witnessed the revelation, and it was revealed in their language, and it was revealed according to the events occurring in their life. And they believed, and they gave their wealth and their property and their life to establish the deen of Allah Azza wa Jal, aiding and supporting the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And to summarize, our Shaykh Abdul Muhsin, he would say, hafidhahullah, they have the eyes, they saw the eyes of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The companions, they have the eyes, they saw the eyes of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And they believed in him and followed him and died upon faith. So this is a level of virtue no one can reach after them. A level of virtue, no one can reach after them. They believed and they lived and died upon faith. And along with them, they had the eyes that saw the eyes of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So this is a high, high level that Allah has selected, chosen for them, that no one can reach after them. So along with them, they learned the religion from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. They learned the Fatiha from the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. They learned Surah Al-Baqarah from the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. They learned the wudu from the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. They fasted Ramadan with the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. They're traveling with the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. One of them will make a mistake and they'll be corrected and advised and admonished by the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So who will know better about that which is revealed to Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam than the companions? No one. It's not possible. So therefore, the understanding of the companions is of utmost importance to understand. You need to follow. To the understanding that they were upon, the religion that they were upon. Al-Imam Malik, he mentioned the likes of this. Rahimahullahu ta'ala, whenever he's in reference to the statement of Allah Azza wa Jal, Al-Yawma akmaltu lakum dinakum. And this day, I have completed your religion for you. This was in the end of the life of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, before he died by maybe 80 days, approximately. Before he died by 80 days, approximately, it was revealed to the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that in the farewell pilgrimage, on the day of Arafah, which was in accordance with the day of Jumu'ah, Allah, he says, on this day I have completed your religion for you. Al-yawma akmaltu lakum dinakum, wa atmamtu alaykum ni'mati, and have perfected my favor upon you, wa raditu lakum al-islam dina, and I am pleased for you with al-islam as your dina, way of life. And Al-Imam Malik, rahimahullah, said, ma lam yakun yawma idhin dina, fala yakun al-yawma dina. Whatever was not deen on that day, you'll never be deen today. You'll never be deen today. So just to summarize very briefly, were on that day, were they clotting on grapes? Were they building shrines on grapes? Were they making tawaf around grapes? Or were they ordered to level the grapes? And what were they doing away with the grapes? Yani the attachment to the grapes? And were they clotting on Allah alone and slaughtering for Allah alone? The second one, right? They're slaughtering for Allah alone. They're not raising the grapes. Rather, they were ordered to level the grapes. And they were ordered to attach their heart to Allah and to call on Allah and to slaughter for Allah and to worship Allah and to be devoted to Allah, not to the graves, and not to the saints, and not to the prophets, and not to the angels. Where the angel come amongst them, an angel came amongst them more than one time. Jibreel, he came to them and they witnessed and seen Jibreel sitting with them. Tajri min as-sa'il, you know who the questioner is? Innahu Jibreel atahum yakum. They never seeking blessings from Jibreel, they never calling on Jibreel. Oh, Jibreel, save us. Oh, Jibreel, help us. Rather, they didn't even call on the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Rather, they called on Allah, because this is the teachings of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So building on the graves and making tawaf on the graves and slaughtering for the graves and the rest of the affairs that the people of deviation, the people of misguidance, those who have deviation in their heart, they call to. This is not from al-Islam. This is not from al-Islam. Rather, this is in contradiction in entirety to al-Islam. And had it been from al-Islam, then it would have been performed on that day. It would have been established and on that day. So this is just an example of that. An example of that. So none of the companions, even after the death of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, are making tawaf around the grave of the Prophet or calling on the Prophet to help them or to aid them or to relieve them and the likes like this. So this is a clarification that those who do that, they're upon a way other than the way of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the true believers. And the true believers. So in the hada al-ilma deenun fa'anzuru amma ta'khudhuna deenakum. This knowledge is religion. You have to look to who you take your religion from. And so long as your knowledge is coming from the companions and from your elders, then you will remain to be righteous. And mutamasikina, yani united together. So how do people become divided? By taking knowledge from the wrong sources. And by understanding the Quran and the Sunnah and understanding contrary to that of the best of this Ummah. In this manner, there are groups come. Groups come and deviation comes. Different sects, they come. And this is what happened in the very beginning of the dissension in the ranks of al-Islam. Whenever the Khawarij, they divided. Whenever the Khawarij, they divided. And they fought against Ali, radiyallahu anhu. This is from the first time separation and dissension occurred in the ranks. And Abdullah ibn Abbas and radiyallahu anhumah, he went to the side of the Khawarij to talk to them and to admonish them and to debate with them in hopes to guide them and to bring them back to the truth. And from the first thing he said, he says, indeed, I'm coming to you from the side of the companions of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and I don't see any of them with you. I don't see any of them with you. And a clarification that this is a sign and proof that they're upon misguidance. Had they had any portion of truth with them, then at least one of the companions would have been along with them on their side. But not one of them was with them. This is an evidence against them that their understanding is wrong, because they're holding up the Mus'haf. They're saying, "In the hukmu illa lillah." And then only the ruling is for only Allah. And they're using verses of the law of Allah and from the book of Allah and their dispute. But Ibn Abbas, from the first things, he refuted them, clarified for them that their understanding is wrong. Although the evidence they're using is truth, they're misinterpreting the evidence, using it in the wrong manner. He said to them, I'm coming to you from the side of the companions of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and I don't see one of them with you. And I don't see one of them with you. Meaning it's clear that your understanding is wrong, and you're upon misguidance and deviation. You're upon misguidance and deviation. So to understand the religion of al-Islam, according to the understanding of the Sahaba and the best generation, the Tabi'een and Tabi'at Tabi'een, this is the proper way. This is the proper way to understand the creed. This is the proper way to understand the worship and the rites of al-Islam. Not in the amount that they worshipped, but in the way that they worshipped. Not in the amount any that they did, no one can reach that level. They were strong and they were sincere. But in the methodology and the way that they were upon. In the methodology and the way that they were upon. And whenever the people start learning from the small ones, the people of knowledge have mentioned what is intended from the small ones, the Asaghir, that they're the people of innovation, or the people of deviation, or the people of ignorance, or the people who follow opinions and they turn away from the text. They're considered the Asaghir. But whenever the people, they follow them and leave off the elders and those who are known to be upon the proper path and correct understanding, those who are firm in knowledge, then at this time the people, they will perish. We've been corrected by Al-Tabarani from the hadith of Abi Umayyah Al-Jumahi radiallahu anhu, that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, من إشراط الساعة أن يلتمس العلم عند الأصاغر. From the signs of the hour is that knowledge will be sought from the Asagir. From the Asagir. The Asagir is the plural of Sagir. Sagir, yani the little ones. The Sagir, yani the little ones. Ibn Mubarak, he says, rahimahullah, whom ahlu bid'ah. They're the people of innovation. And then he mentioned, likewise, aladini yaquluna bi ra'ihi. There are those who speak with their opinion. There are those who speak with their opinion. Meaning they use their opinions in contradiction to the clear text. So again, the Asagir, they're like those who have deviation in their heart. They will use their opinions and they will say what they think, even if it's in contradiction to the clear evidences and the fundamentals of the religion. Even if it's in contradiction to the evidences and the fundamentals of the religion. Then there's an important point that he made, rahimahullah. He says, فَأَمَّا صَغِيرٌ يَرُوِي عَنْ كَبِيرٌ فَلَيْسَ بِصَغِيرٌ. As for someone who's young, but he narrates on the elders, and he's following their way, he's mentioning what they have mentioned, and he's following the proper path, فَلَيْسَ بِصَغِيرٌ. He's not considered little. He's not considered little. So someone may be young in comparison to others, but if he's sincere in seeking knowledge and applying knowledge and carrying knowledge and spreading knowledge, that knowledge will make him big. That knowledge will make him big. It will elevate him. It will raise him. And he will not be considered little. But still, at the same time, he must know his place, know his position, and not overstep his boundaries. But the point is that knowledge will raise a person. Knowledge will raise a person. Maybe someone will be considered young in age, but with knowledge, he'll become strong and he'll become upright and considered high and lofty and having a major impact on the community, bringing good to the society. And he'll be considered big. He'll be considered big. But again, this is very dangerous for the youth to get a big head. A big head. And this is easy to happen for those who are young because they do not have experience. This is one of the things that the youth, they lack. This is one of the things that gives the elders the advantage over the youth. And the origin is that you seek knowledge and learn from the elders because they have knowledge, and along with knowledge, they have experience, wisdom. But the wisdom comes from experience. There's some things in life you don't read in a book. There's some things in life you don't read in a book. You can't read it in a book. You don't find it in a book. You learn it from experience. Things, trial and error, events that happen in one's life to one's own self, and what he witnesses happening to others around him likewise, he gains experience, especially whenever a person spends a lifetime in knowledge. He spends a lifetime in knowledge and memorizing knowledge and reviewing knowledge and dealing with the people of knowledge, and sitting with the people of knowledge, and also dealing with the older students and the younger students, and also facing those who have deviation in their heart, seeing how they move and looking at the affairs and learning how the people of knowledge respond and so on and so forth. This grants him great understanding and firmness in his religion and experience that others they lack, those who are younger, those who are younger. So this is very important to strive to obtain the proper knowledge, to strive to obtain the proper knowledge. In this manner, someone who is young or small becomes big. And he becomes upright, or somebody who maybe he has a lineage that is he has an unknown lineage, or he's someone who is not having a good background, but because of sincerity and striving to seek knowledge and learn to apply that knowledge, he becomes raised. If we look into the history of Al-Islam, many of the greatest scholars of hadith, from them we just mentioned Muhammad ibn Sirin, rahimahullah ta'ala, he died in the year 110. He's a freed slave. If we look into the biographies of many of the scholars of hadith, we'll find that many of them, they're freed slaves. At one time, they were slaves, or their fathers were slaves, or they themselves, they were slaves. And then they were captured in the conquest of Al-Islam. And then they entered into the fold of Al-Islam, and their faith was good, and they become from the best of this ummah. They become from the best of this ummah. To clarify, that knowledge will raise a person if he's sincere in learning. It's been narrated from Ibrahim al-Harbi. Ibrahim al-Harbi, rahimahullah, he died in the year 285. He said, "As-sagir idha akhadha biqawli Rasulillahi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam wa sahaba wa tabi'in fa huwa kabir. The one who was young, if he holds fast to the statements of the Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and the Sahaba, and the Tabi'een, then he will be big. Then he will be in this manner that he's considered big. And so it's by way of knowledge that a person, he becomes big. And he says, وَالشَّيْخُ الْكَبِيرُ إِذَا تَرَكَ السُنَنْ فَهُوَ صَغِيرٌ. And an old man, if he leaves the Sunnah, then he's considered little. He's considered little. So maybe someone, he's an old man, maybe he has a white beard, maybe he has big thobe, maybe he has this, but he left the clear evidences of the Quran and the Sunnah. He left the proper understanding and the correct path. He's not big. He's not an elder. Rather, he's little. And he's considered insignificant in this manner. So therefore, the scale, again, is the Sunnah of the Prophet, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The scale in these affairs, who was big and who was small, who was honored and who was respected and who was little and who was insignificant, this is not according to wealth, or lineage, or tribe, or status in society. This goes back to the Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Those who are in accordance with that, and those who are upon that way, clearly, this is the determining factor. Ibn Abdul Barr, rahimahullah ta'ala, from the great Maliki scholars, he died in the year 463. He has a work on knowledge. It's called Jami' Bayan al-Ilmi wa Fadlihi. In this work, he has a chapter. And the title of that chapter is Halu al-Ilmi idha kana 'inda al-fusaqi wal-aradhi. Halu al-Ilmi idha kana 'inda al-fusaqi wal-aradhi. Just listen to the chapter title. The situation of knowledge. He says here, the circumstance of knowledge, whenever it is with the Fusaq and the Aradil. Meaning, what will happen? What will the condition of knowledge be whenever it's in the hands of the Fusaq? The Fusaq, they're the wicked and the corrupt, the open sinners. The wicked and the corrupt and the open sinners. And the Aradil, they're literally the lowlifes. So this is a situation that is well known, that maybe there'll be circumstances whenever corrupt and deviant people and low lives, they'll get their hands on knowledge. They'll have some knowledge, but they will not use it in the proper manner. Rather, they will misuse it. They'll abuse it. Similar to the Jews and those who have deviation in their heart. In this chapter, he mentioned the narration of Muhammad bin Sirin. إن هذا العلم دين فانظروا عمن تأخذون دينكم. Indeed, this knowledge is religion. Look to who you take your knowledge from. Meaning because some people who carry knowledge, maybe he's a fasiq. Maybe he's a fasiq, but he has knowledge. Maybe somebody who's carrying knowledge, maybe he's a fasiq, but he's from the low lives. Maybe he's carrying knowledge, but he's from the people who have deviation in their hearts. Maybe he's carrying knowledge, but he's misguided. Maybe he has ijazah in Quran, but he calls on the graves. Maybe he memorized the book of Allah and many narrations, but he calls to overthrowing the rulers and revolution and all these other misguidance that we have seen. It's contrary to the sunnah and leads to nothing but evil. Nothing but waylat, 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 waliyadhan billah. So you have to be careful. You have to be careful because knowledge sometimes will be in the hands of the deviant. It's been narrated by Sufyan al-Thawri, rahimahullah ta'ala. This is in this chapter likewise. Sufyan al-Thawri, he died in year 161. And there are many benefits from mentioning the dates of the deaths of the scholars. For example, this one, Sufyan al-Thawri, 161. And this was a long time ago. And he's from the early generations. He's from the best of the generations. And also to indicate, likewise, the affairs that they're discussing was apparent even back in those days. And this narration is clarifying that. He says, تَعَوَّذُوا بِاللَّهِ مِنْ فِتْنَةِ الْعَابِدِ الْجَاهِلِ تعوذوا بالله من فتنة العابد الجاهل وفتنة العارم الفاجر. He said, you must seek refuge with Allah from the trials of the ignorant worshipper and from the trials of the corrupt scholar. Of the corrupt scholar. So there are worshippers, people who are known for worship, but they're ignorant. They're ignorant. So we will not take the ignorant worshippers as role models. We will not worship the way they worship. Will not consider them upon a good way. So the devout worshiper, he has a high and lofty status whenever his worship is based upon knowledge in accordance to the sunnah. So although he's not a great scholar, he's still a devout worshiper, and meaning that he worships Allah properly and correctly. So he's good. But if a person, he advances upon worship and devotion to Allah Azza wa Jal, but he does not have knowledge, and it's not according to the sunnah, then now he's ignorant and misguided, and he has a resemblance to the Christians. And then he said, and also seek refuge with Allah from the trials of an alim al-fajir. An alim al-fajir. Al-fajir, yani the evil and corrupt, a sinner, somebody who is corrupt and a sinner and a low life. Waliyadhan billah. Well, so he's considered alim, but at the same time he's fajir. So he has knowledge, but he misuses the knowledge. And he uses the knowledge to manipulate the people and to use the people and to take advantage of them. To eat up their wealth unlawfully. Waliyadhan billah. Waliyadhan billah. This is something that the Salaf were aware of. So even in those days, there are people of knowledge, but they're corrupted. They're people of knowledge, but they're deviant. They're people of knowledge, but they're known sinners. They're people of knowledge who did not benefit from their knowledge. So we have to be conscious that our teacher is not a fajr, or a fasiq, or mubtadi', or dhal. You understand this? We have to be careful. We learn and we seek knowledge, whether we're learning directly from a teacher or whether we're listening to his audios on YouTube or whether we're listening to reading his books or going to his page on the internet and the likes like this. We have to make sure that the knowledge we're learning is proper and those who we're learning from are qualified. Because even sometimes a person, maybe he will mention knowledge that is correct, but he's calling to himself and he's calling to his party. He's calling to his group. He's trying to gather people around him because he has ulterior motives. And he's been overcome by the leader of this life. And he's using the knowledge, stepping on it, to have authority and leadership. Waliyadhan billah. Sufyan al-Thawri likewise, rahimahullah, he mentioned about this. And he said, إِنَّ أَكْبَحَ الرَّغْبَةَ أَنْ تُطْلَبَ الدُّنْيَا بِعَمَلِ الْآخِرَةِ. That indeed the worst and most disgusting desire, the ragba that can come in the heart, the desire, the worst thing you could ever want, is to seek the worldly life with the deeds of the hereafter. To seek the worldly life with the deeds of the hereafter. To have praise from the people or position with the people. To get a dollar. And the life's like this. Or to have some type of leadership. And the way that one he will get that is by using the deeds of the hereafter. From the best deeds of the hereafter is knowledge and seeking knowledge and caring and teaching knowledge. It's knowledge and seeking knowledge and caring and teaching knowledge. So those who use that knowledge to get the dunya, they have a resemblance to the Jews. وَكَانُوا يَقُولُونَ تَعَوَّذُوا بِاللَّهِ مِنْ فِتْنَةِ الْعَابِدِ الْجَاهِلِ وَمِنْ فِتْنَةِ Al-alim al-fajir. You have to seek refuge from Allah, from the fitna of these two types of people. One who is a devout worshiper, but he's upon ignorance. And the one who is a person of knowledge, he's carrying knowledge, but he's corrupted and he has bad intentions. وَلِيَذُ بِاللَّهِ He said, رَحِمَهُ اللَّهِ فَإِنَّ فِتْنَتَهُمَا فِتْنَةٌ لِكُلِّ مَفْتُونَ Because their trials are a trial from everyone who will be tried by them. Anyone who would listen to them or entertain them, they will be tried by them. So we've seen in our previous class the status of the scholars and the devout worshippers. They have the highest and lofty status. The best of this ummah are the scholars of this ummah, those who are upright, and the devout worshippers, those who likewise are upright. So whenever the scholars become corrupted and the devout worshippers are misguided, then at this time the ummah will collapse and fall into deviation, into whims, into desires, and be overcome by lust and misguidance. And the enemies at this time, they'll have their way with the Muslims and their lands. This is what has been happening. This is the cure that we hope to. This is the disease that we hope to cure and to do away with by learning and carrying out its property and worshiping Allah upon clarity and teaching the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, seeking His pleasure and reward and working for the home in the hereafter. Now the author, he says, rahimahullahu ta'ala, wa qala Uqbatu ibn Amir رضي الله عنه تعلم الفرائض قبل الظانين رواه ابن وهب في مسنده واسناده صحيح وعلقه البخاري وقال يعني الذين يتكلمون بالظن And the author, he mentioned in the narration of Uqba ibn Amir رضي الله عنه that he said, learn the fara'id, ta'allamu al-fara'id. The word al-fara'id, what is intended here is the laws of inheritance. The word al-fara'id, it has more than one meaning. It could mean the obligations, yani the wajibat, and also sometimes it means al-fara'id, yani ilm al-mawarif, ilm al-ahkam al-mawarif, the knowledge and the rulings of the inheritance. And that is what is intended here. Ta'allamu al-fara'id, yani ahkam al-mawarif, learn the laws of inheritance. Qabla al-dhannin, before the speculators, yani the people who speak upon conjecture, guess. He says, رواه ابن وهب في مسنده. Ibn Wahab, Abdullah ibn Wahab, he narrated this in his musnad. He said, and that chain is authentic. And Bukhari, he mentioned it without a chain in his authentic collection. Then he commented himself, Bukhari rahimahullah, and he said, يعني الذين يتكلمون بالظن. يعني in reference to those who speak with conjecture. يعني they're speculative. يعني those who speak about affairs without sound knowledge. So this is again an encouragement to learn the religion in entirety, and to learn the rulings of Al-Islam before the deviant, they start to learn, and before the misguided, they start to learn, before the people, they start to speak about Islam without knowledge. And those people who are speculative, those people who speak with conjecture, and from their names today, they call them the Islamic thinkers. Al-Mufakir Al-Islam. This is the Mustalah Jadid. This is a new terminology they have today. They didn't have back in the day, but this is who these people are. Al-Dhannun. Those people who speak with conjecture and they speak with their opinion. He's an Islamic thinker, but you'll find that he has never sat with any scholar or never studied an Islamic university. Maybe he's an engineer or maybe he's a doctor. And it likes like this, and all of a sudden he starts thinking about Islam and he talks and he's eloquent, and they call him the great Islamic thinker. These are the people that we're warned from and that we're supposed to learn before they come. And these are those corrupt and deviant scholars. They're the ones who follow their opinions and they interpret the text according to what they like, in contradiction to the fundamentals about Islam. We have been warned from listening to them and from learning from them. So An-Nawawi rahimahullahu ta'ala, in his book Al-Majmu', which is a book about al-fiqh, yani the fiqh of al-Shafi'iyya. But in the introduction of this book, he has many great benefits about the virtues of knowledge and the people of knowledge and narrations and the likes of this affair. He mentioned this narration there. And he says, وَمَعْنَاهُ تَعَلَّمُ الْعِلْمَ مِنْ أَهْلِهِ الْمُحَقِّقِينَ الْوَرِعِينَ قَبْلَ ذَهَابِهِمْ وَمَجِئِ قَوْمٍ يَتَكَلَّمُونَ فِي الْعِلْمِ بِمِثْلِ نُفُوسِهِمْ وَظُنُونِهِمْ التي ليس لها مستند شرعي. The intent from this narration here of Uqba ibn Amir رضي الله عنه, he says, the meaning is that you have to learn the knowledge from its people, those who learn it precisely, those who fear Allah with regards to it, before they're gone, and people come in their place who speak about knowledge according to their desires and according to their speculations and their thoughts, without having any legislative basis. And these are also the asagir, those people who have been warned from likewise, the people who are the little ones, the insignificant ones, those who speak about the deen of Allah Azza wa Jal without evidence and proof, those who their understanding and that which they try to establish in rulings and the likes is in contradiction to that which the companions they were upon, radiyallahu anhum. So now the author, he says, وَقَالَ عَبْدُ الرَّحْمَنُ بْنُ يَزِيدِ بْنْ جَابِرٍ, that Abdul Rahman ibn Yazid ibn Jabir, he said, may Allah have mercy on him, لَا يُؤْخَذُ الْعِلْمُ إِلَّا عَمَّا شُهِدَ لَهُ بِالطَّلَبِ, that knowledge is not taken except from those who it's witnessed for that he sought knowledge. I mean, those who are known to have sought knowledge. Again, what is intended here are those who are known to have had teachers. They learn from teachers. They're on the chain. They're not from the luqata. They're not from the luqata. Those who have no lineage in knowledge. Those who have no teacher. Those who learn from books only. Or learn from the internet only. Or they learn on their own. And the likes, be careful from learning from the likes of these. He says, knowledge is only taken from those whom it's witnessed that they have sought knowledge. Meaning it's known that they sought knowledge. It's known that they had teachers. It's known that they had effort in seeking knowledge and learning it from its proper sources and in its proper manner, until that knowledge is seen in their life and in their conduct and their manners and their etiquettes, and they become known for that. These are the people who you seek after and you hope to learn from. He says, Rawahu al-Khatib. Rawahu al-Khatib al-Baghdadi fil Kifaya. Al-Khatib al-Baghdadi, he narrated this narration in Al-Kifaya. So again, this is a clarification of the importance of having a teacher, but not just any teacher. Having a teacher, but not just any teacher. Having teachers who are known to have sought knowledge and learned properly and correctly from the proper sources. This is from the greatest blessing, from the greatest favor of Allah Azza wa Jalla, is to be guided to a teacher. Someone who, what is apparent, is they're sincere and they have knowledge and they want good for the people and they strive to help them. This is from the greatest blessings and favors. And many times, the goodness that we find, it comes to our life from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guiding us to people of knowledge and to good companions and friends. The best of our companions are the people of knowledge and the students of knowledge, those who help us and direct us and advise us and admonish us and remind us. This is the best of companions, the best of friends. And we ask Allah to provide for us and our family and loved ones good companions and good teachers that will guide us and direct us and that will help us upon the straight path. So the author, he says, now وقال مالك رحمه الله, and Imam Malik, he says, كان الرجل يختلف إلى الرجل 30 سنة يتعلم منه. الله أكبر. And Imam Malik, he says, رحمه الله, and Imam Malik, he died in 179. He says, a man, he used to go to a man for 30 years learning from him. كان الرجل يختلف إلى الرجل. يختلف إلى رجل, يعني يختلف here, it doesn't mean to differ. يختلف means, يعني يتردد. يذهب ويرجع. يعني يختلف إلى رجل, يعني يتردد إليه. That a man, he used to go back and forth to another man. Any meaning to his teacher. يتعلم منه 30 سنة. For 30 years, man, he will go to his teacher. For 30 years, going to his class, after Maghrib, after Asr, after Fajr, for 30 years, learning from him. Meaning he would seek knowledge for a long time. Meaning from the affairs of knowledge and seeking knowledge is that the path is long and it's not short. The path is long and it's not short. And it's something that one who would do for his life, not for 1 year or 2 years, not for 4 years. And the life cycle is like they do today. They study for 4 years and after that he gets a degree, class, he's done. He's finished 4 years or 8 years, depending on the degree. And then after that, depending on the degree, and after that, he's finished. That seeking knowledge is a lifelong effort. Imam Ahmed, rahimahullah, he was asked, how long are you going to seek knowledge? Until when are you going to write hadith? He said, min al-mihbara ila al-maqbara. He said, from the inkstand until the grave. And he meaning my entire life. Meaning my entire life. He's seen with gray hair in his beard, an old man carrying a book and a pen and going to the gatherings of knowledge. They said, until when are you going to write narrations? Until when are you going to seek knowledge? He said, until I die, inshallah. inshallah. Because a believer, he must continue upon the path. And barakallahu fikum, sometimes the most beneficial knowledge that we will hear in one day is knowledge that we already know. Sometimes the most beneficial knowledge that you will hear, that you will learn in the gatherings of knowledge, not necessarily is always new knowledge or something you didn't know, but something that you already know and something that you're reminded of. And that's why the Quran is called al-dhikr. It's called the reminder, because many times we forget. That's why we're called nas, insan, from an nisyan. He's forgetful. He has to be reminded. You'll forget. You'll not necessarily forget about the day of resurrection, but it's as if he forgot if he's not careful. And he's getting involved in the society and the life like this, sometimes a person could forget about the reality of life and be overcome by the word of life. By sitting in the gatherings of knowledge, he'll be reminded, he'll be admonished to come back to reality. His soul will not get loose, rather he will check himself. Alhamdulillah, this is from the virtue of the gatherings of knowledge. The point to clarify here is that the path of knowledge is long, it's not short. And that's something that requires patience, and one cannot be hasty. That requires patience, and one cannot be hasty. So the one who is hasty, he will not be able to learn. The one who is arrogant, he will not be able to learn. And the one who is shy, he will not be able to learn. Rather, a person, he has to be brave, and a person, he has to be humble, and a person, he has to be patient and steadfast in order to learn. Al-Imam al-Shafi, rahimahullah ta'ala, he mentions some beautiful lines of poetry about this, summarizing the affairs of knowledge. And to summarize the path of seeking knowledge, Al-Imam al-Shafi, he says, rahimahullah, أخي لن تنال العلم إلا بستة سأنبك عن تفصيلها ببيان ذكاء وحرص واجتهاد وبلغة وصحبة أستاذ وطول الزمان أخي لن تنال العلم إلا بستة. My brother, you will never obtain knowledge except for with six. This is great advice from the great Imam al-Shafi'i, rahimahullah. He died in the year 204, Muhammad ibn Idris al-Shafi'i, Abu Abdullah. أخي لن تنال العلم إلا بستة. My brother, you'll never obtain knowledge except with six affairs. سأنبك عن تفصيلها ببيان. I will clarify the details of that for you with clarification. The ذكاء, cleverness. You got to be clever. You can't be a dummy. Huh? You have to be clever. You have to think. You don't just take everything that they say as is truth 100% or everything in the book. You have to believe it. Some things, there are sometimes errors or mistakes, or there are things that require reflection, thinking, or maybe it could be misunderstood. It has to be referred back to the clear verses, the light side. You have to be clever. You can't be ghabi. You can't be stupid. You can't be dumb. You can't be easily tricked, easily fooled. You can't let somebody just pull the wool over your head, the hoodie over your head, and then do whatever they like with you. No, you got to think. Wait a second. Is that right? Is that correct? And you don't just follow blindly, absolutely, although you have respect for your teacher, no doubt. But if there's something that doesn't make sense to you, you have to ask. And you have to ask in a good manner, but you have to have the cat. This is the point. The cat one, وَحِرْصٌ. حِرْص, any diligence. You have to be diligent. وَاجْتِهَادٌ, and you have to strive hard. You have to be diligent, and you have to strive hard. You have to make lots of effort. وَبُلْغَيْتُنْ, and you have to have... You have to have money. You have to have money. Seeking knowledge requires money. Brother, you're never going to obtain knowledge except for six. One of them is that you have to have provision. You have to have money in order to go seek knowledge. Because maybe you're going to have to travel. Traveling to the people of knowledge in these days from these lands many times requires a plane ticket. You have to fly overseas. If you want to go sit with the people of knowledge, you have to fly overseas. This requires money. Or if you want to come to the seminars, you have to have gas money. For example, like some of the noble brothers, they have spent their money. They have bulugah, alhamdulillah. They're driving from North Dakota, South Dakota. They're driving from Texas. Allahumma barik. And this is because they have bulugah. They have money to seek knowledge. You have to have money. You have to have money to seek knowledge with. So this is from the things that you have to have in order to seek knowledge. So someone who's going to be diligent to seek knowledge, he has to strive to save up some knowledge, to save up some money, to save up some provision, to make sure that he has the money that he needs to carry him on his journey and seeking knowledge, something to make effort for, something to save for, a subject to work for, something to work for. And every penny spent in the path of knowledge, if one is sincere, is considered worship. Buying books, printing papers, buying pens, all of the efforts that are spent, and from one's self and likewise from his wealth in the path of seeking knowledge, if he's sincere in that, then it is considered from his good deeds, and he will be rewarded and recompensed from that with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on the day of resurrection. So every penny spent in the path of seeking knowledge is a penny in the scale of good deeds, bi'idhnillahi ta'ala. Every dollar spent is a dollar, and in that one he will get a recompense for, a good reward for. He's putting it in his scale of good deeds, bi'idhnillahi ta'ala, if he's upright. For example, if you have a child who wants to seek knowledge, and you pay for him to have a Quran teacher online or in the masjid, or for you to have a Quran teacher or an Arabic teacher or so on and so forth, you have to pay a teacher to teach because the teachers have to have provision likewise. This is all of this money that's spent is money in the path of Allah, money that's in your best interest, money that you will benefit from if you are sincere. If you are sincere, the money that you spend to go travel and the likes like this, all of this is from the means of seeking nearness to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and using the blessings and favors of Allah and that which is pleasing to Allah azza wa jalla. So you have to have the cap, you have to have hirs, you have to have ijtihad, and you have to have bulagha. You have to have money, you have to have provision. You have to have provision. Either you yourself, you have provision, or you have someone who is supporting you. Or you have someone who is supporting you. So it's been mentioned from Al-Fudayl ibn Iyad, rahimahullah, he died in the year 187, that he was from the scholars and the students of knowledge, and also he was from the teachers and those who used to admonish the people. He's in the shades of narration, the books of the Sunnah, alhamdulillah. But how did his provision come to him? Abdullah ibn Mubarak, rahimahullah, he died in the year 181, he used to send him a stipend on a regular basis. He used to send him a stipend and he some money, a salary on a regular basis, and he to support him, so that he can continue doing what he's doing. And then whenever Abdullah ibn Mubarak, he was taken up about that. He said, we see you always sending your money to these different lands. Why don't you take care of the people in your land? He said, because I know people in those lands, they're people of the Sunnah. And if they don't have support, then the Sunnah will die away and the knowledge will be lost. So I put my money where the benefit is. And he aids the people of knowledge. And this is a means to share in their efforts and all the efforts that they are involved in and all of the good that they spread. He's a share in that by supporting them. By supporting them. So this is a great benefit and a great way in aiding the religion and supporting the deen by aiding the people of knowledge and the students of knowledge and helping them. And many times the students, they're in need. And a little bit will help a student of knowledge a long way, especially for those who are overseas. And the dollar goes a bit further for them, alhamdulillah. So to help the students of knowledge, those whom we know good from them, is from the best deeds. It's from the best deeds and from the best means of cooperating upon piety and righteousness. And then he mentioned, rahimahullah, how many was that? The ka'am wa hirsun wa shihad wa bulghatun. That's four, right? How many did he say? Six. He said six of them. Then he said, wa suhbatu ustadin, and to accompany a teacher. You'll never obtain knowledge except with cleverness and diligence and striving and working hard and having provision. And likewise, accompanying a teacher. This is the way to obtain knowledge. This is what our discussion is about. And then the last one, wal-tul al-zamani, and having a long time. This is the point here. It's not something short. It's a path that is long. So be patient. It's been narrated from the Salaf that they would say, yanbaghi an yakuna li talib al-ilmi na'rayni min hadid. It's proper for a student of knowledge that he has two sandals of iron. That he has sandals of iron. What does that mean? And so you stay firm. Sandals of iron. Because any student of knowledge, many times, it requires great diligence and great efforts. Many times you will become lonely, being far away from your family. Maybe you're going to travel to seek knowledge, you have to leave your children behind. You have to leave your wife behind. You're going to go overseas for a month or 2 months or a year or 2 years or longer or shorter and the likes like this. And you'll be a stranger in those lands. You'll be alone with no family. Or maybe you'll be with your family and there will be difficulties and there's hardship. You spend time seeking knowledge, you don't have time to seek provision many times in the manner that's required. And maybe if you don't have someone to support you or to help you, maybe you'll go through poverty. Or maybe you'll go through hardship. Maybe your bills will be late. so on and so forth. Many different difficulties that will come. That will be a means for a person to give up and to leave the path of knowledge. So you have to be diligent. You have to be patient. You have to seek the help of Allah Azza wa Jal. You have to go through hardships. Many times you'll face obstacles. Maybe you want to get accepted in the Jamia. Maybe you will, and then something will happen. You'll not be able to continue. Maybe you apply time after time after time and never get any response back. You never get accepted. Some people, many times, they'll be like, khalas, that's it, I'm finished. I never got accepted. And then after that, he'll just go and do the dunya. Just go and do the dunya. No, you don't. Maybe he's not going to be able to be accepted in the Jamia, but this does not mean that's the end of his opportunity in seeking knowledge, especially in these days. Especially in these days, in these times that we're living in now, whenever it's very easy to go overseas, it's very easy to enter Medina, it's very easy to enter Mecca in these days, alhamdulillah, to get a visa and the likes like this, and to go sit in the gatherings of the people of knowledge. So even if a person can't go for years, maybe he'll go for a month, or maybe he'll go for a week, or maybe he'll look at the times whenever there are intensive seminars in Medina, or intensive seminars in Mecca, or intensive seminars in Kuwait, and the likes like this, or in Imarat, there are intensive seminars all throughout the years. Some of them are 2 weeks long. Some of them are 1 week long to choose to go make Umrah. And these times, for example, and they attend that seminar, they make Umrah and come home, alhamdulillah. Maybe in 3 or 4 months or another 6 months or next year, do the same thing to plan, to save money, the bulgha, to go make Umrah with the intention to seek knowledge along with that. And to sit in the gatherings of the scholars and to choose the time when there are intensive seminars that a person can benefit from. From the great means in these days, and learning is the likes of these intensive seminars. There's a lot of information and benefit that is mentioned in just a few days, in a weekend, or in a week, or in 2 weeks. A person, little by little, who can benefit in a great manner like this. Deep. It's not sufficient. It's not compared to someone who spent years at the feet of the scholars. But if you can't do all of something, you don't just leave it and turn away from it. You do the best that you can. So again, brother, you'll never obtain knowledge except with six. I'm going to clarify them for you now, and that is with cleverness and with diligence, with striving hard, with having provision, with accompanying a teacher and spending a long time. The author, he says, rahimahullah ta'ala, rawahu Abu Nu'aym al-Asbahani fi Hilyati Awliya. That Abu Nu'aym, he mentioned this narration in his work, Hilyah al-Awliya. Fihi masail. In this chapter, there are issues and he benefits to discuss. Al-ula fadlu al-ilmi wa ahlihi. The first issue that we benefit from this chapter is the virtue of knowledge in his people. We have seen a number of aspects of that. Alhamdulillah. Al-thaniya annahu yahdi ila al-haqi wa yaqi min al-batil. The second benefit is that knowledge, it leads to the truth and it's a means to protect the person from falsehood. So knowledge, it will lead you, guide you to the truth, and likewise, it will be a means to protect you from harm and danger. We've seen the example of that, of the one who's walking through the wilderness. The one who has a torch and a blazing lantern and walking through the wilderness, that light is a means for protection for him, falling into danger and harm's way. It's a means of protection for him from falling into danger and harm's way. But if he did not have the light, then he's exposed to falling in danger. Many times, he will not be able to avoid it. And the more he tries to avoid the evil, the more he's wrapped up in it, because he does not have light, subhanAllah. So knowledge is light, barakallahu fikum. It will guide you to the path, and it will be a means to protect you from falsehood and evil by the permission of Allah Azza wa Jalla. Athalifa, annahu yuqadhu an ahlihi bitalaqti wa sama'i wa su'ali ma'a tul as-suhbah. And the third benefit is that knowledge is obtained from its people by learning from them and hearing from them, and asking them by spending a long time in their company. Al-Rabi'a, قَبْضُ الْعِلْمِ بِقَبْضِ الْعُلَمَى. The fourth benefit here is that the knowledge is lifted by the death of the scholars. Al-Khamisa, التَّحْذِيرُ مِنَ الرُّؤُوسِ الْجُهَّالِ أَلَّذِينَ يَتَّبِعُونَ الْمُتَشَابِهِ. The fifth benefit here is a warning from the ignorant leaders, those who follow the unclear evidences. Those who follow the unclear, that many they interpret those verses in contradiction to the clear fundamentals of the religion. It's been narrated by Abu Dawud and Tirmidhi and Darimi from the Hadith of Thawban radiyallahu anhu, that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, إِنَّ أَخْوَفَ مَا أَخَافُ عَلَى أُمَّتِي الْأَئِمَّةِ المضلين. إن أخوف ما أخاف على أمتي الأئمة المبلين, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, the thing that I fear most for my ummah, for my followers, is al-a'imma al-mudhillin, the misguided leaders, the misguided deviant imams. This is something to fear. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said here, inna akhwaf, indeed the thing I fear most, ala inna akhwaf ma akhafu ala ummati, the greatest thing that I fear from my followers, al-a'imma al-mudhillin, the deviant and misguided imams, leaders in the religion. This is something that is of utmost importance to be aware of, and to avoid and stay away from, and to know their traits and characteristics. From that is that they misinterpret the verses and they understand them in a light contrary to the fundamentals and foundations that are established clearly in the deen of Allah Azza wa Jalla. And then he says, Rahimahullah, then he says, Hafidhullah, As-sadisa, the sixth benefit, anna minan nasi man hum min ahli al-ilmi fa yu'khadhu anhum wa minhum man laysu min ahlihi fa la yu'khadhu anhum. And from the people, there are those who are from the people of knowledge, the qualified, upright, noble people of knowledge, and the knowledge is taken from them. And then from them, likewise, there are those who are not people of knowledge, any meaning they're people who have knowledge, but they're not qualified, respectable, and honorable people of knowledge. Whether they're al-a'imma al-mudhillin or ulama al-su or ulama al-fujjar, waliyadu billah al-jababira, jababirat al-ulama, waliyadu billah, the tyrant scholars, the deviant, misguided scholars, the evil scholars, and knowledge is not taken from them. And this is something that is established in the deen of Allah Azza wa Jal, the understanding of the Salaf. And likewise, it has been narrated as well in the introduction of Sahih Muslim by Muhammad ibn Sirin, rahimahullah. He died in the year 110. Allahumma barik. He died in the year 110. And he from the best of the tabi'een, rahimahullah ta'ala, he says, لَمْ يَكُونُوا يَسَّلُونَ عَنَ الْإِسْنَاتِ, they didn't used to ask about the chain. Meaning, who did you learn this knowledge from? In the beginning, they didn't used to do that. Meaning the companions, they were not upon that. They were not doing that. Yani commonly, because they used to learn from each other and narrate from each other. And they're reliable and trustworthy. They're not known for lying. They were united. They were not divided. He says, فَلَمَّا وَقَعَتِ الْفِتْنَةِ قَالُوا سَمُّوا لَنَا رِجَالَكُمْ. But whenever the fitna occurred, they said, tell us, name for us your men. Whenever the fitna occurred, they said, name for us your men. And who did you hear these narrations from? Who did you take that knowledge from? Who told you the interpretation of that verse? How did you get that understanding? Who told you that? What's his name? Let us know. لَمَّا وَقَعَتِ الْفِتْنَةِ قَالُوا سَمُّوا لَنَا رِجَالَكُمْ. Whenever the fitna occurred, they said, name for us your men. Tell us who your teachers are and who you learned from. Where did you get that understanding from? It became very serious. Because at this time, the ummah divided. And whenever he says, فَلَمَّا وَقَعَتِ الْفِتْنَةِ, whenever the fitna occurred, what is being referred to here? مَقْتَلْ Uthman ibn Affan, the death, the murder of Uthman ibn Affan. Whenever the Khawarij, they came and they raided him in his home, and they murdered him, radiallahu anhu. And at this time, the Ummah divided. This was the first splitting, and at Islam, the Khawarij, they murdered the Khalifa, Uthman ibn Affan, radiallahu anhu, and they were divided in this manner. So now the people, they deviated, and they're divided in different sects, and the creed was corrupted. The creed and understanding of these people were corrupted. And now their individuals carry knowledge who are not reliable. And likewise, people started lying on the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, ascribing narrations to him falsely. So the people of Hadith, the true followers of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they became very diligent to identify the narrations that are ascribed properly and the understanding that was correct from those narrations that were fabricated, or those lies or those misinterpretations that had been introduced after the death of many of the companions of the Allahu anhum, or after the death of Uthman of the Allahu anhum, and the deviation and the splitting of the Ummah. The deviation and splitting of the Ummah. So there are people who are qualified, upright, noble scholars, alhamdulillah, and students likewise. We benefit from them, we honor them, we help them, we support them, and we learn from them, and we make dua for them. May Allah aid them and help them and support them and benefit the Ummah by way of them. And then there are others, who are ascribed to knowledge likewise, and they're not truly from the people of knowledge. They're deviant. They're misguided. Their traits are that they interpret the Book of Allah Azza wa Jal and the Sunnah of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam contrary to those fundamentals and those foundations. And from the clear signs that they're deviant is that they understand the Book and the Sunnah contrary to the understanding of the Sahaba. They have an understanding and creed and belief or methodology and worship, manners and conduct contrary to the understanding of the Sahaba, of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Because it's not sufficient to say Qur'an is Sunnah, Qur'an is Sunnah. Because if you ask the Khawarij, the one from ISIS, who goes and blows himself up in the masjid, so what are you doing? He says, Qur'an Sunnah, Qur'an Sunnah. If you ask the guy who's spinning around in the masjid, going in circles, or the one who's going, like this, you ask him, what are you getting? He says, Qur'an Sunnah, Qur'an Sunnah. They're all going to say the same thing, Qur'an Sunnah, Qur'an Sunnah. Even they're going to say, Ahl Sunnah. You ask the one why he's making tawaf around the grave, or he's slaughtering for the grave. What is he claiming to follow? Is he claiming to follow the Bible? Huh? Is he claiming to follow the Bible? No, he's claiming to follow Quran and Sunnah. Quran and Sunnah. So which one of them is following Quran and Sunnah? The one who's making tawaf around the grave, is he following Quran and Sunnah? Is that in the Quran and Sunnah? Is the one who is blowing himself up in the masjid, Quran and Sunnah? The one who's blowing himself up in the market, killing all the people coming to buy, the man is coming to buy some wheat, and another woman who was with her child coming to get some milk, and then they get blown up in the market. Is this from Quran and Sunnah? Well, that's what they claim. Well, that's what they claim. How do we identify these affairs? We go back to the understanding of the Sahaba. Did they understand the evidences like this? Was this the understanding of the Quran and Sunnah that they were upon? Was Abu Bakr spinning around in the masjid? Barakallahu feek. Hasha wa bi'adha billah wa killah. Huh? Was he spinning around, hopping up and down? Umar is hopping up and down in the masjid like this? Spinning in circles? No, this is not. Would he ever be able to know when I would ever say that? So this is clear that it's not from the deen of Allah Azza wa Jal. So the means to verify these affairs is to refer back to the understanding of the Salaf, the understanding of the best generations, meaning the Sahaba, the Tabi'un, the Tabi'at Tabi'in. This is the proper methodology and way. So he says now, السَّابِعَ إِحْتِيَاطُ الْعَبْدِ لِنَفْسِهِ وَرَعِيَتِهِ بِتَحَرِّي مَنْ يُؤْخَذُ عَنْهُ. The seventh benefit here is that a person, he must take precaution for himself and for those under his care and pursue and look into where he takes his knowledge from. And be diligent that a person, he must take precaution for himself and for those under his authority and looking to where he takes knowledge from. Where is this benefit from? Understand the benefit. A person, he must take precaution. He must be careful for himself and for those under his care, his wife, his child, anyone under his authority. He must be cautious. He must be careful where he and those under his care get knowledge from. Where is this derived from? Because the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he is explaining the verse in Surah Ali Imran about those who have deviation in their heart. Who is this narration from? Aisha radiallahu anha. The Prophet is warning Aisha radiallahu anha. He's teaching, he's warning his family, he's warning his wife, meaning this is something that he's diligent with regards to, not just learning by himself or just learning with the men in the masjid, rather also teaching the women and having care for those under our authority, under our guardianship, having love for them and wanting good for them and hoping that not only will we be in paradise, but we'll be in paradise with our wife and children. We don't want to just be in paradise by ourselves. Any person want to be in paradise? Yeah, but you also want your child to be in paradise with you. So he's not going to go to paradise by following his desires. He's not going to go to paradise by taking knowledge from everywhere. He's going to go to paradise by following the path of paradise. And the path of paradise has people. The people that are on that path that were granted success upon that path. And there, the prophets and the truthful and the martyrs and the righteous. And the prophets and their followers. And the best prophet is the Prophet Muhammad, and the best followers is his followers, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the companions, radiallahu anhum. So you want to be upon their way. You want to be upon their way. You want to go to Jannah, and you want your family to go to Jannah. So that means you have to strive yourself to learn and take precaution where you get knowledge from, so you do not deviate And so do not go astray, and deviation does not come into your heart, and likewise those under your care. Likewise, it's been mentioned from the hadith of Mu'adha, radiallahu anhu, that she came to the to Aisha, radiallahu anha, Mu'adha, rahimahullah, from the tabi'in. She came to Aisha, radiallahu anha, she asked, she says, why do the women, whenever they get their menses, they make up the fasting, but they don't make up the salah. They make up the fasting, but they don't make up the salah. The woman in Ramadan, if they miss days in Ramadan because of their menses, what do? They make up the fasting, but they don't make up the salah. So she's wondering why. She's asking why. But this particular issue was an issue in those days that the Khawarij were involved in. And the Khawarij, they used to discuss this affair. And they became known for these intricate details and asking why and the likes like this. And opposing the narration, so on and so forth. So this was something known for the Khawarij. So Aisha, radiallahu anha, what did she say? A haruriyatun anti. And are you from Harura? Are you from the Khawarij? And she's aware of this affair. A haruriyatun anti. And she singled her out and she labeled her. Are you from them? And if those people who are the Khawarij? Labeling her with that name that they're known by, from Harura, which is a town. Haruriyatun anti. Are you from those Khawarij? She said, no. I just want to know the ruling. So then after she is clear that she's not a person with deviation in her heart, she explained to her, radiallahu anha, and she said that this used to happen to us in the time of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and we were ordered to make up the fast, and we were not ordered to make up the prayer. You see how beautiful the answer is? This happened to us in the time of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and we were ordered to make up the fast, and we're not ordered to make up the prayer. So this is the answer. This is the response. The people of knowledge, like a Nawawi, rahimahullah, they mentioned some wisdom behind that. But the answer is the answer of Aisha, radiallahu anha, because the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam ordered them with this and did not order them with that. So the origin is that you follow the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The only reason we're fasting is because the obligation of fasting was revealed to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The clarification of how to fast was in the sunnah of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So he's the one who ordered us to fast, and he's the one who taught us to fast, and this is what he taught us. So therefore we fasted in this manner. And this is the easy way. You understand? The easy way to fast is to fast the way the companions fasted, because that's what they were ordered to do. So it goes back to the understanding of those who fasted with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. How can you fast in a way contrary to the way they fasted and claim that you're following the sunnah? Understand? We were ordered in the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam to make up the fast, and we're not ordered to make up the salah. The fast will only be a few days, maybe 7 days, right? How many prayers will a woman miss in 7 days? 35 prayers, right? That's a lot. That's difficult. That's hard. So in the religion about Islam, there's ease and there's not hardship. So from the wisdom, and Allah knows best, is that it's difficult to make up all those prayers, and it's not difficult to make up the fast. And likewise, the fast is a rite that happens once in a year. So therefore, this must be made up. But in any case, this was the way that the companions, they were ordered. Radiallahu anhum. What time did we start?
6:20.
What time is it now? 8. You're tired. You're hungry. This is Dawra Mukattafa, intensive seminar. So you have to, I mean, it's just a couple of days. Be patient, inshallah.